Let's turn again in our Bibles to Luke chapter 11. Luke 11. We continue our series in the Gospel of Luke, the beloved physician, remembering that Luke set about, as he says in his introduction, to find a faithful account and recording of everything Jesus did and said so that we might know, that we might be convinced, that our hearts might be assured to place our faith and trust in Christ alone. And it's this need for trusting in Christ alone that we find as we come to Luke 11, verse 37. And we're going to read verses 37 through 44. So Luke 11 at verse 37, but we are going to be starting our reading in verse 42. Our text starts in verse 42. So let's start at verse 37, but the text begins in verse 42. Luke 11 at verse 37. When Jesus had finished speaking, a Pharisee invited him to eat with him, so he went in and reclined at the table. But the Pharisee, noticing that Jesus did not first wash before the meal, was surprised. Then the Lord said to him, "Now then, you Pharisees, clean the outside of the cup and dish, but inside you are full of greed and wickedness. You foolish people, did not the one who made the outside make the inside also? But give what is inside the dish to the poor, and everything will be clean for you." And here begins our text. "Woe to you Pharisees, because you give God a tenth of your mint, rue, and all other kinds of garden herbs, but you neglect justice and the love of God. You should have practiced the latter without leaving the former undone. Woe to you, Pharisees, because you love the most important seats in the synagogues and greetings in the marketplaces. Woe to you, because you are like unmarked graves, which men walk over without knowing it." And that's as far as we're reading in God's Word. May He add His blessing to it. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, warning systems are designed to catch our attention. It's for good reason that the smoke alarm is not a soothing little ditty. It is piercing. It is unnerving. It causes our hearts to skip a beat, because warnings are designed to catch our attention because there is impending doom. Think of the emergency broadcast system, or even the warning light on your car. These things are designed to draw your attention to the fact that something is wrong. Ignore the warning to your peril. Ignore the warning, and you will be destroyed. Well, today we are going to see that Jesus Christ, in speaking to the Pharisees — He's been invited to dine with one Pharisee, but He's speaking to the Pharisees as a whole — He is going to be giving them woe, warning, telling them of impending doom and destruction. Last week, when we looked at verses 33 and following, talking about the contrast between light and darkness, if your eyes are evil, if your eyes are blurry, if your vision is distorted, your eyesight affects what you take in. And if your eyes are bad, everything you take in into your heart, into your soul, will be bad. And then thus, everything that comes from you will be bad, will be evil. If your eyes are bad, how great is the darkness within you? Well, that's what we're going to find today, that the Pharisees had a bad eye. They had corrupt hearts. And thus, everything they did was corrupted by the nature of their heart. So there are three woes that Jesus Christ is giving, and these three woes correspond to our three points in our sermon. And each woe is going to contrast the evil heart and action of the Pharisees with what a true and godly heart should be, and thus what a true and godly life will be. We look at this theme that Jesus Christ warns the self-reliant Pharisees of impending destruction. Now, the word woe is not one we often use, but it means a curse of displeasure. It's an accusation. It's a reproof. Woe to you is an exclamation of grief and denunciation. There's something wrong. It is a warning that needs to be heeded because destruction is at hand. And these three woes are rooted in the Pharisees' self-reliance. And the reason this woe is so important for us is because the Pharisees' attitude was at odds with the gospel, with the entire ministry and teaching of Jesus Christ. The Pharisees were opposed to it because they taught a religion, a piety, a morality based on the human laws of logic and reasoning, where we can do it in ourselves. We need lists, and we can live a holy and perfect life. We can make ourselves acceptable to God by doing certain things. It's this Pharisaic self-reliance that Jesus Christ is warning us about today. So let me read for you the theme one more time. Jesus Christ warns the self-reliant Pharisees of impending destruction. Well, our text begins in verse 42 with the first woe, reading, "Woe to you, Pharisees, because you give God a tenth of your mint and rue and all their kinds of garden herbs, but you neglect justice and the love of God." The Pharisees were supposed to be the religious leaders of the day, living a life of such uprightness that they were an example for other people to follow. But things were not as they seemed. Jesus said earlier in verse 39 that the Pharisees were like cups or dishes that had been washed on the outside but contained filth on the inside. Their external, the what you could see visibly, seemed to be clean. But what was on the inside was full of pollution. So the external actions, their daily living, what was visible to the human eye, seemed to correspond to the law. But what they had in their hearts, their motivations, their soul was polluted and corrupt. So what was the external thing that this woe is addressing? The external action that Jesus is addressing is their very meticulous tithing. Now, the tithe, as many of you will know, is the 10%. Leviticus 27, verse 30 says, "Every tithe of the land belongs to the Lord. Bring it into the Lord's house because it belongs to the Lord." That means that 10% of everything, of every produce that you received from the land belonged to the Lord, was to be brought to the tabernacle or the temple. It was part of the Old Testament law that these Pharisees were following to the very letter. Following it so meticulously that they were tithing what was coming from their garden. Now, many of you have a garden here. You have green beans and cucumbers or pumpkins, whatever you have in your garden. And what these Pharisees were doing is they knew the law, and they were so diligent in applying the law to the very dot, to the very smallest letter, that whatever came from their garden was tithed as well. Now, Jesus does not say you shouldn't do that. Jesus will, at the end of this woe, say you should have done this. But what they failed to do was to address the heart. They did not have a heart which should have led them to thankful giving. They were not generous. They were not kind and compassionate, which is the spirit of the law. They did not love fellow men. Rather, they were, as verse 39 says, they were filled, and says, inside, you are full of greed. Now, this is a very interesting word. The word for greed in the Greek is arphage, which means extortion, robbery, and plunder of spoil. So you get the contrast here. It's striking. Get the irony. They are so diligent that they are giving a tithe. They're giving you 10% of what's coming from their garden. But they're turning around and they're plundering the households of those who were their neighbors. They're consuming the house of the widow, taking advantage of the poor and the weak. They're passing over the weightier matters of the law, like justice towards fellow man, loving fellow man. Yet they're being very meticulous toward the smallest letters. As Jesus said earlier in the Beatitude, blessed are the merciful. But now Jesus says, woe, woe to the unjust. What does the law say? Micah 6. What does the Lord require of you? Well, Micah 6 says you are to do justice and love mercy. Walk humbly with your God. So they were greedy. They were neglecting justice. They were robbing others because their hearts were full of corruption. They loved money. Even though they were faithful in tithing, their hearts were not motivated by thanksgiving. So the first aspect of the woe addresses their failure to love fellow man. And then verse 42 continues. They have not loved God. Remember what the summary of the law is, children? You read the Ten Commandments a few minutes ago. What is the summary of the law? The summary of the law is to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Loving God first and loving your neighbor as yourself. But Jesus here in this woe is saying, not only have you failed to love your neighbor because, yes, you're tithing, but you are manipulating, you are conniving, you're trying to get material gains by taking advantage of your neighbor. Worse than that, you don't love God. Because not only are they full of greed, verse 39 says, they are full of wickedness, pollution. They are filled with ungodliness. They did not love God, because even as the Pharisees are sitting here with Jesus Christ, remember the context is Jesus was invited into the house of this Pharisee. And what is this Pharisee doing? This Pharisee is testing Jesus. He's trying to catch Jesus. Every time the Pharisees are meeting with Jesus, they're trying to find some way to bring an accusation against Jesus Christ. But who is Jesus Christ? He is the word bringer. He is the messenger of the Father, but he is God himself. And they hated him. And they hated his word. They are making plans to ultimately kill him. So Jesus speaks in their hearing like a siren, like a smoke alarm, warning, woe. Ignore this warning to your peril. How foolish you are, Jesus says in verse 40. How wicked and rebellious to ignore the heart of the law, to make the law simply external. If you do these sort of things with your hands, you're fine. God will accept you, even though in their heart they were corrupt and filled with all pollution. They were legalistic in every area that their piety was visible. They were meticulous. But they never addressed their heart. They wouldn't lift a finger if the law did not command. They rebelled against the divine law, hating God and hating their neighbor. But God is not fooled. God is not deceived. Jesus Christ exposes what is in their heart and rebukes them Because if you live your life in the externals, you can be the most faithful giver in the church, tithing even above the tithe, faithfully giving to the church and supporting various charities. But if in your heart you do not love God first and love your neighbor as yourself, all your giving is nothing. What does Corinthians say? What does Corinthians say? If I have not love, you are nothing but a noisy gong and a clanging cymbal. It doesn't matter how much money you give away. If your heart is not right with God, your charity is polluted. So why do we seek to obey God's law? Is our charity and our giving truly a response that comes from a heart that is thankful, that loves God first? Or are we like these Pharisees, calculating? How do I look to others? How much do I need to give in order to appear righteous in the sight of men? Jesus continues in verse 43 with this second woe. Woe to you Pharisees, because you love the most important seats in the synagogue and the greetings in the marketplaces. Woe to you proud Pharisees who continue to seek the praise of men. You love to be greeted by others. Now this was an elaborate greeting that you would receive in the marketplace, in the public square. They loved to be called rabbi or teacher. And a greeting could be something like this: Hail Josephus, son of Gamaliel of the school of Hillel, or something like this. They love people heaping upon them their titles and their names. It's kind of like our present day Dr. So-and-so, head of this department, author of this book, and resident master of all things. They loved being praised by men and greeted with their formal titles, recognizing all that they had done. They loved their long robes and long prayers on the street corners for all to see and hear. They wanted to be visible. So they liked to hear the greetings, but they also loved to have the best seats in the synagogue. Now, in the synagogue of that day, you would have the front row would be actually facing the rest of the congregation. And the front row would be filled, populated with the resident scholars of the day. So if you made it to the front row, you had arrived. You could sit the other way, turning, looking at the rest of the congregation, and the people of the congregation would be looking at you. They loved the best seats, places of honor reserved for the experts and leaders and teachers of the law. Their ambition caused them to be conniving. They would jostle, and they would even seek to outdo one another in order to receive the best place. It's kind of like the classroom bully, isn't it? I mean, how many here don't remember as a child when you had that one kid who would push his way to the front of the line because he was selfish and he wanted to go first? That's what the heart of these supposed leaders, spiritually pious men of the day, were doing. But what does Jesus say? Blessed are the poor in spirit. Jesus says the first will be last and the last will be first. Jesus says, consider others better than yourselves. God gives grace to the humble, but he opposes, he resists the proud. Luke 14, verse 7, everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. John 12, how can you believe if you accept glory from men and not the glory that comes from God, or the praise that comes from God? These men were so concerned with finding the positions that appeared to be important. They wanted to be praised and greeted and identified and visible, and that is what motivated their day-to-day living while they neglected the heart. They neglected the state of their souls. Jesus says earlier, this is in verse 39, that they were like cups that were clean on the outside, but on the inside are full of all pollution. Now, perhaps you know what this is like if you've had a meal where you bake something and it becomes this hard, stuck-on, crusty stuff, and you stick it in the dishwasher, and then you take it out of the dishwasher, and look at the outside, hey, it looks pretty clean, and then you flip it over, you're like, oh, that's nasty, right? That's what these guys were like. The outside is clean. It looks good to the human eye, but on the inside they're full of pollution because they never addressed the heart. Proud. So Jesus says in Matthew 6, verse 1, beware practicing your righteousness before other people in order to be seen by them, for you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So Jesus rebukes them for their externally pious actions, seeking to be praised by men. And then finally, in verse 44, we come to the third woe. Woe to you, because you are like unmarked graves, which men walk over without knowing it. Remember that Jesus was speaking to the religious leaders of the day. If you wanted an answer to how to understand the law, how to apply the law, how to live the life of a good Jew, you went to the Pharisees, you went to the teachers of the law. Our text is going to continue by talking about the lawyers in the next verses, the lawyers of that day. Jesus says you are like hidden tombs that people come into contact with and thus are defiled. Remember back from Numbers 19, that whenever you come into contact with human bones or a grave or a tomb, you would become unclean for 7 days. Well, Jesus says that you Pharisees are like unmarked tombs. People were coming into contact with them and they were becoming defiled even though they didn't know it. It would be like walking into a field and there was a grave under you. There's no markings. There's nothing to identify this. And they walked over it and they became defiled and they didn't even know it. They thought that they were walking in a way that was right and true by going to the Pharisees. But in coming into contact with the Pharisees, they were becoming polluted. The Pharisees were teaching them that if you did these certain things, you obeyed these laws, if you externally did what was right, then you could be praised by God and men. They were tying heavy burdens that they themselves would not list. They were teaching a false sense of security to themselves. But instead of becoming clean, they were actually polluting those who came to them, leading others astray. They were like deceptive road signs. Go this way and please God, when in actuality, you got to go this way. Jesus says that this is a outworking of their wicked hearts. In a passage which is similar in many ways, Matthew 23, Jesus calls Pharisees whitewashed tombs. Now, in Matthew 28, calling Pharisees whitewashed tombs, what they would do is, in order to make sure that the tombs were visible, they would smear this white stuff on the outside so you could see it from far away, even seeing it at night in the moonlight, so that you didn't go near these graves and become polluted. But Jesus says, you guys are like these tombs. You're white, you're clean on the outside, but on the inside you are full of dead men's bones. Now, Jesus says, you are actually worse than whitewashed tombs, because at least you can see whitewashed tombs. You are like unmarked graves. You're polluting people and they don't even know it. You are spiritual death hiding in plain sight. So Jesus warns them of the true nature of their heart. They thought so well of themselves, but Jesus says, look at what's inside. Stop looking at the outside of the cup. You don't drink from the outside of the cup. You drink from what's on the inside. What's on the inside? On the inside, your heart, your soul, it's from that everything proceeds. Your mouth speaks as an overflow of your heart. What's on the inside of the cup, that determines the cleanse, the cleanness, the purity of what comes forth. The Pharisees were like blind guides A blind man coming up to a Pharisee was like a Jew coming to the Pharisees looking for wisdom, but the Pharisees themselves were blind. A blind man following a blind man, both ending up in the ditch. If you don't have the light, if you can't see, you're not a very good guide. The most dangerous threat is the enemy hiding in plain sight. It's the devil masquerading as an angel of light. These Pharisees were promising freedom, but they were delivering death and bondage. Those who went to Pharisees looking for spiritual wisdom were deceived and were led astray and polluted. So to summarize these three woes, if you had to summarize the problem of the Pharisee, it's that they were proud and not humble. They were working for the praise of men and not the praise of God. They were polluting those who came to them instead of giving instruction. So Jesus pronounces this warning and woe upon them. If they didn't flee, if they didn't repent, not only their followers, but they themselves were in line for destruction, because your righteousness must exceed that of the Pharisees. Your righteousness must be greater than that of the Pharisees. Well, how do you get a righteousness greater than the Pharisees? You need a holy, perfect, godly righteousness. A clean heart by the Spirit. You need to be born again. Born again of the Spirit above. Only then will, after your heart becoming clean, will your actions be acceptable to God. Because without faith, you cannot please God. But a heart that is born again will overflow in a life that is compassionate and generous. One that seeks to honor God first and foremost. And one that is able to give good instruction to those who need instruction. This warning still sounds today, doesn't it? Beware lest you also be led astray by the deceitfulness of men. These Pharisees did not see the destruction that was coming, so Jesus warns them. Your righteousness is not based on external actions. Your righteousness must be based, must be found, must be rooted in the works of Christ. Else your works are polluted and your path will lead to death. To conclude, it is possible to have a form of godliness while denying its power. The Pharisees followed the jot and tittle of the law, but they missed the heart. It is easy for the church to fall into the trap of legalism. We are known as a people who do these things, but don't do these things. What does it mean to be a Christian? To be a Christian is not someone who does certain things and doesn't do other things. That's not the heart. That's not the identity of a Christian. The identity of a Christian is one who is living in true faith, united to Christ, made righteous by the imputed works of Jesus Christ. That is what is the identity of a Christian. Yes, that will be made evident in how you live, absolutely. But that's not where it starts. That's where it comes. That's the fruit. The root is being united, joined to Christ in faith. It's that humble submission and complete dependence on Christ that is absolutely vital for every Christian. Because if you don't have that, it doesn't matter what you do. You can be the most highly thought of in this world, the most generous, the most worldly wise. People think the most of you. You're even in a position of power and authority. It doesn't matter. If your heart is not born again, if you're not right with God, you're not a Christian. You're not. And your works will be rejected by God. Let the warning of the Pharisee be heeded by the church today. Jesus warns against an external, man-centered religion. May we never be deaf to the sound of woe. Be careful that your good deeds are not done before men to be seen and praised by men for your glory and honor, but rather dedicate yourself to a life of humble submission and obedience to God for His praise alone. For He gives grace to the humble, but He resists the proud. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank You for this warning. You have said in Your word, blessed are the pure in heart, blessed are the meek, blessed are the merciful. O Lord, may these fruits of righteousness flow from a heart that is made right with You. May we never trust in our own works, our own abilities. May we never trust in our own power or look to our own praise. But, O Lord, give us hearts of faith. Join us to Christ. Graft us into the true vine, knowing that only then will we produce the true fruits of righteousness. And for those of us who have been joined to Christ, may we offer our lives as a living sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving to Your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.